A few weeks ago, Jen spoke about being a breed of new champions, and that was off the back of Donna's prophetic word to the church a number of weeks back about being a new breed of champions. It made me think about what's going on at the minute in Wimbledon, the tennis. And we all know there's very good players there. There are champions there. And what makes a champion? Other than the skill, the determination, that there is something in their psyche. I believe that they were just so confident. That doesn't mean to say a champion always wins, because they don't. We know they get defeated. But there is something about a champion that really knows, you know, what work they've put into their skill. You know, they've probably got natural, they have got natural talent. But there is this inner confidence that they have that when they go onto a court, they're going to do well. And I think that's what Donna was talking about, for a new breed of champions, that we are so confident in what God has done for us and that we are the righteousness in Christ because we've given our lives to him, that we are just so confident in who we are, what he's done in our own lives, what he wants to do in us and through us. So I want to talk, really, it's about hope, but from Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, it says this: forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it's springing up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I'm really trying to be aware of what the Holy Spirit is speaking to me about. There were two words, one of which was new, which was a new breed of champions. And I shared a few weeks back about now, a night of worship. There's two words, new and now. Those two words feature in that scripture passage, Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. But one of the questions I wanted, I'm sort of asking myself is, and asking that to you as well, is how many of us can get stuck in the past? Stuck in the past of thinking about past experiences with God, past glories, if you like, or regret for failures that have happened in our life, for hurts, all those things. And it's natural for us as humans to actually go through those. And as I was driving up here, I was thinking up that hill, if I was to drive just looking at the rearview mirror, I would crash. If I was driving up here just looking at the instruments, I would crash. If I was driving up here continuing to look ahead, I wouldn't crash. That's what this passage is all about, I believe, is looking ahead, not looking at the rearview mirror of things that have happened in the past, good or bad. We've got plenty of good stuff happening, plenty of things. I mean, I know of several instances, and I've shared before, I won't do it here, but I know God is powerful. He's healed me of an Achilles tendon issue. I've been smacked by the power of God, and I've been on the floor. I've been visibly and physically shaken by him. I know the power of God. I know God is real. But I can't continue to look in that rear mirror. I can think about it, but I can't dwell on it. And that's what this passage is saying, is dwelling on that for future things. God is a present future God. He's done stuff in our lives, which is great. We don't shelve all that, but he wants to do something even greater. Just as that song said, we were made for more. So the past, while it can be informative, it can also be a prison, believe it or not. It can bind us to the things of the past. Now, I'm not saying, you know, like our salvation experience, that is a given, isn't it? That's something that we celebrate. But there are other things in our past, good or bad, which can hold us prisoner. One of those can be regret. One of those massive ones that we've spoken about many, many times is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, I think in the natural world, we don't necessarily have to talk spiritually, but in the natural world, people know that unforgiveness eats at you. You know, when you think you're right and you're so dogmatic that you think you're right, and it's trying to get free of those things. So really, the whole of that, those two verses in Isaiah 43 talks about, it's like, as I found out, it's like a powerful antidote and a liberating truth. The context of it is Israel, they were in slavery still, really, to the Babylonian, and they wanted to go back to when God, you know, opened up the waters of the Red Sea, gave them the promised land. They had to go and conquer the promised land, but God did so many things. Manna in the desert. So in the context of this, they wanted to go back and, you know, God provided for them. He provided a way of escape and provided food for them. But through Isaiah, God is speaking to them saying, okay, that was then, you're here now, but there is a future I have for you. Get your eyes up, look through the windscreen of your car. Don't keep looking at through the rear mirror what God's done or the instrument panel. This, I was thinking about this morning, so I haven't really thought through it, but I'm going to share it with you. This can become an idol. What am I saying by that? It is the Word of God. It's infallible. But if we don't experience the God of the Bible, we won't be looking ahead. We'll be looking at the instrument. It's all well and good. You're looking at me as if to say, Pete, you're speaking heretically. So I'm trying to actually say to you, we need this. This is our instruction manual for life. It reveals Jesus almost in every, or probably in every page. And we need it. We need it because it is the truth. It is the truth. But if we start to worship the Word rather than the Creator and the person behind the Word, that's what I'm saying here by looking at the instruments in front of us. We can have many idols in our life which can bind us and keep us from moving forward. You name it. I think you would know if you've got an idol in your life. Because if you've got a relationship with the Holy Spirit, He will be talking to you about that. And those things can keep you prisoner. Those can hold you back. So, and it sounds very odd, doesn't it? God speaking through Isaiah, saying to them, forget the former things. It's like, hang on a minute. How can you forget the former things? They were just amazing. But that's exactly what he's saying is, all well and good, but now is the important thing. Right now, in the present, look into the future, because I've got more for you. So, forget not the former things, do not dwell in the past. It's not a command to literally forget history. It's not to be enslaved to the past. That means, as I said before, good and bad things. We can actually idolize past triumphs, past experiences with God, and we rest there. All good, and that's part of our history, but it's looking about what's he doing, what's he saying now, and what does that mean for the future? And not letting past hurts define us. That can be a biggie. Past hurts, unforgiveness, those things can keep us prisoner. So God says, don't dwell there. Don't live there. And why? Because he's going to do something even remarkable. That was his promise to them in those two verses. That was great. This is where you are now. I've got something even greater for you. And that's for everyone here. That's why Jen picked the songs this morning. And I think it was brilliant that you picked that one because you didn't really know, did you? What I was going to be talking about. But that's how that last song encapsulated it. It's a great song, isn't it? It's a, I love music, and it's a 6/8 beat. It's a swing like this. And there is something about worship songs sometimes where you think, words are great. J. Jen's a real words person in songs. I'm more of the melody and the music. And often when we're listening to music, I think, oh, did you hear that bass line? Did you hear that sort of key change? And I'm listening for that. Jen's listening for the actual lyrics and sing it. So God is trying to prepare them for this new thing. He's doing that with you right now. He's doing that with us every single day. And there's a personal application for this and a church application, a corporate application to this. You know, some of us involved in not just church, but other things outside of church, other charitable stuff. There's stuff in those realms as well. Marilyn and Tracy, in your ministry, there's new things. There's new things to happen through you both. I am doing a new thing. Now, that could mean a completely new thing, completely different. At the prayer evening on Friday, I found myself praying about what would it look like for God to just break through in our community. And that's what we are praying for and have been for years. What would it look like for 39 in our particular community, but obviously a lot wider through Kent? But, you know, where I'm living in Tonbridge, there's 39, 40,000 people. What would that look like for everyone to be saved? God is good. So his goodness. Can I get a yes to that?
Yes.
Everything was accomplished at the cross.
Yes.
Anyone else?
Nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible. With God? Yes. God values everybody and they're significant. Yes.
Yes.
So I've got four yeses. Britain's Got Talent. You're three.
You won.
But if we believe God is the God of everything and has the ability and the power to do everything, then why can't we believe, or can we believe that? Yeah. That could be just my own personal journey, but what would that look like? This new thing. And I also found myself thinking about, well, if God were to break through, he could break through in the churches. But what if somebody, even a non-believer, walked into Specsaves or Boots and they were having their eyes tested because their eyes were getting worse? Could be me, could be somebody else. But what if God just moved sovereignly and healed their eyesight? What if? That's the new thing. We could lay hands and he could be healed. But this new thing, this fresh thing, could be that. Can we believe for that? That somebody just goes, walks into Spoon's pub and suddenly is just absolutely overwhelmed by the weight and the power of God. And walks over to five of us at prayer breakfast and says, what do I have to do to be saved? What if? Yeah, yeah, come on, come over here. So, come here so this can.
Another testimony I heard. This couple, the wife had been a Christian forever, but her husband wasn't. They'd been married 10 years. She prayed for him for 10 years that he'd become a Christian. One day she went to church and he was at home and a woman broke down outside his house and she had a flat tire. So he went out to help her change the tire and everything. And off she went. Anyway, she put a card through his door or their door to say thank you. And when he opened the card, the Holy Spirit hit him. And he had an encounter with God that turned his life around. And I just thought, my goodness, maybe when we send a WhatsApp, maybe when we phone someone, maybe when we send a card, God will do that. Isn't that amazing? Just amazing. And he encountered God and then obviously gave his life to the Lord. But the encounter was so strong that he couldn't deny the fact that there was a God. Anyways, just to fit in with those strange and unusual things.
And I think we need to expect those things. Let's just expect a new thing. Let's have a hope to see the new things that's happening, that we know there's a shift happening. We know there's young people just walking into churches. I was talking to the lady who is heading up Ashford Baptist Church here, the youth there. And just before the meeting, I was just talking to her. And I can't think of how we actually got to it, other than she started to talk about this silent or quiet revival that's happening with the young people who are just walking into churches. And we've got St. Paul's Hammersmith, where somebody just started to give out Bibles, and people were just, yeah, thank you very much. It's like, well, that's not a new thing, is it? Because people have done that for years. But I think the point is that something is happening, not in America, not necessarily in Africa, but it probably is. The stuff is starting to happen in Great Britain. So we need to celebrate that. So what is God doing now? He's doing that for a start. Can we expand our vision to do that? Bear Grylls' book. I think, Sue, you've read it. I've just bought it. I'm going to read it on holiday. Jen might read it as well. But yeah, exactly. Read it, give it away. Because we heard him speak with Jay John. Brilliant. It sounds brilliant. Maybe we ought to buy some books and just give them away from the bridge in Tunbridge. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know where that came from. Anyway, the principal thing is, when God promises a new thing, as it says here, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am. He's the one making a way. So it's almost like, Pete, get out of the way. Us, get out of the way. We can pray, but sometimes we have to sort of step back a bit to allow him to move on. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I got a bit, when I was reading this early in the week, wasteland is, that's an interesting word, isn't it? But I think we can have wastelands in our own lives. We could have wastelands in the church, wider church, businesses, community, a wasteland. If you think of Tunbridge, I don't know how many Christians are in Tunbridge, maybe 3,000? I don't know, maybe not that many, I don't know. So that means there's 37,000, roughly, who are in a wasteland. Just as John Wesley, he was compelled to go and do that. So it depends on what your calling is. We all have a responsibility in our local communities to share the love of God, but to expect the new thing, to be hopefully expectant of a new thing happening. That could be through us, that could be through the sovereign move of God. But the promise here is that I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. He's making that stream. Can we jump in the stream? So how do we perceive it? Prayer, scripture, listening to the Holy Spirit, faith, risking something with somebody, and worship. So I actually want to call us right now. Let's just pray. Lord, I pray that you just, by your Holy Spirit, you just come and inject us and encourage us to risk and faith more. To be very sensitive to what you're telling us. That we're sensitive to, why am I being drawn to that person? Why am I being drawn to that shop? Why am I being drawn to that situation? That you know through the Holy Spirit, he wants to do something which could be incredibly risky. But I think just as the promise is for here, any new thing, he will provide what you need, what I need, as we risk, as we take courage in seeing streams in the wasteland. And I pray that for ourselves as well, that if there's a wasteland in our life, from whatever that might be, whether it's unbelief, whether it's a situation in the past which has caused hurt, leave a blank, you fill in the blanks. Whatever that is that's holding me, you, in a wasteland, thank you for the promise that you will be providing a stream in that wasteland. And we're not stuck on the rock bottom of that. But that stream will lift us up and carry us through, because that's what you promise here, Father God. So don't dwell on the past. God is active. He's creative. And he's faithful. He's always doing something new. Your mercies are new every day. And Lord, I pray for those new mercies every single day. Might be every single hour. Holy Spirit, we just pray you just be so close to us, and we just open our hearts to see what the new thing you're doing in our own lives, through us, and for our community around us. And Lord, I pray that we approach life with a joyful expectancy of your fresh work, Father God, that we have a biblical hope, joyful expectancy of good happening. We want to step into the new and a glorious future. I thank you for your word. I thank you that that is an instrument. That's your very word of truth and a real sense of help and encouragement for each one of us. I thank you that you've moved in our lives in the past. But Lord, I pray that you help us to not look at the instrument, not make an idol of that. They don't make an idol of what's gone on in the past, but we look ahead to the new thing, knowing that you've prepared a way for us. And I pray all of this in your mighty, powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen.